People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
Solar power is definitely a piece of our energy future, and PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric Company, is investing in a program that will help facilitate the adoption of solar technology in the multifamily affordable housing sector. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, where today's guest is Andrew Yip, who is the Supervisor of Solar and Customer Generation Group at PG&E. Welcome, Andrew.
Welcome.
The program that we'll be talking about today is called MASH. That's an acronym that stands for Multifamily Affordable Solar Housing Program. I know that it's part of the California Solar Initiative and that it's composed of two different tracks. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. As you mentioned, the Multifamily Affordable Housing Program is a part of the California Solar Initiative. And the goal of the MASH program is somewhat different than the California Solar Initiative. The California Solar Initiative, the overall high-level goal is to install 3,000 megawatts of solar. And the second goal is to help solar become mainstream so that at the end of this program, solar can be self-sustainable for all customers. As a subset, the MASH program, the goal of this program is to, one, stimulate the adoption of solar power in the affordable housing sector, also to improve the energy utilization and overall quality of affordable housing through application of solar and energy efficiency technologies, then also to decrease electricity use and costs without increasing monthly household expenses for solar affordable housing occupants, and more than anything, to definitely increase the awareness and appreciation of the benefits of solar. Under the MASH program, there are two incentive tracks. So the first track offers a fixed incentive based on the size and performance of these installed systems, and these target low-income customers that are either wanting to offset their common area usage or each residential unit usage. Track two looks at projects that are out of the ordinary that developers can think of, which includes additional benefits such as green job training or creation, education and outreach, energy efficiency upgrades, and also additional financial benefits to the low-income development.
Well, clearly PG&E only wants to invest in projects that are fiscally sound. Why did the company choose to run this particular program?
PG&E was actually pretty eager to administer this program because we felt that it was a great addition to many of the other programs that we offer for our multifamily affordable housing customers. So in the end, this allows a whole myriad of opportunities where we could help the multifamily affordable housing customers look into additional cost savings when we are looking at projects such as energy efficiency and solar.
Landlords can benefit from the MASH program, Andrew, in two different ways. Can you describe how landlords can apply for funding?
Sure. So all low-income qualified customers can qualify for the MASH program. Landlords can benefit by installing solar and either offsetting their common area usage or also offsetting their tenant usage as well. So when they apply to the program, they tell us how much they initially want to offset their common area load. And then based on that, however many units they have, we take a fixed percentage based on square footage of each unit to see how much load they can offset based on the entire solar system.
You mentioned that PG&E provides incentives for participating in the program. Do you actually give grants to the landlords to install solar systems, or is it more a matter of rebates or guaranteed reduced utility rates?
PG&E does not offer any grants. The grants are actually done outside of this incentive program. There are other mechanisms that currently exist in the market, such as our funding and those programs. Here at PG&E, we do offer incentives, or as you might want to call them, rebates. In addition to that, when a landlord does install solar, the purpose of the solar system is helping them to reduce their electricity costs so that when solar is generating, it helps them reduce their electricity consumption. And also when they are overproduced, we have a program called net metering, which allows them to transfer certain credits when they have overgenerated to be used during different times.
So Eden Housing is planning to use the MASH program to conduct solar retrofits at 26 properties. And already in Petaluma, the Downtown River Apartments got one of the first Track 2 grants in the state. Eden is estimating that at that apartment complex, the landlords will save 62% in the cost of utility bills. They figure that usage should go down by about 75%. Is that pretty standard for savings when switching to solar?
To be honest, it really varies from project to project. When we do see a lot of customers applying for solar, their goal obviously is to reduce their electrical consumption. However, we do see a myriad of different solar system sizes as far as what a customer would want to do. So it's really hard to tell exactly what the percentage of the expected savings are, but there definitely are savings. And in regards to other types of projects, it really depends on how much the developer or the landlord is willing to spend and how the economics will work depending on how much electricity they're trying to offset.
I see. So there's no real way to estimate, for instance, what tenants might be able to expect? Because in this particular project in Petaluma, Eden is estimating that tenants will experience like a 30 to 40% savings, which is very significant.
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, under the MASH program, out of 100% of the solar system that gets generated, landlords are able to split, you know, a certain percentage to the common area and the rest to the tenant. So a lot of it depends on how much they want to offset the common area first, and then the second piece would go to the tenants based on their square footage. So as I mentioned, you know, they wanted to offset a small portion of their common area, then they would definitely offset more to the tenants, which saves the tenants more money on their bills.
Are some buildings better suited than others for solar technology, or is it possible to add solar to almost every roof?
I think solar definitely is an option for every customer. However, based on location and whether or not there's a lot of shade out there, that'll depend on, you know, what size or what the benefits are to a customer. If a customer does have a roof that's south or southwest facing and has minimal to no shade, those types of customers would benefit from solar.
In order for the systems to get the maximum savings, do landlords have to do anything beyond installing the solar panels and the solar equipment itself? Are there other changes that need to be made?
There aren't any other changes that need to be made. Solar is pretty easy in the sense that there are no moving parts. However, there may need to be minimal maintenance that needs to be done on site. So whenever a landlord sees that the panels are a little dirty, they do have the option to wash them or spray them down. Because the cleaner the panels are, the more sunlight can go through to the panels and create more electricity. In addition to that, just being able to monitor the systems would be beneficial to a customer. So out there in the market, there are monitoring providers that will help the landlord understand their generation and also provide web interfaces to show them what the actual output is. And if there are any issues out in the field in regards to the solar system, the monitoring provider will give the customer an alert so that they can contact their contractors to see if there's any issues out there. But generally, you know, solar has been pretty good in the sense that there's very minimal maintenance, and really the only thing that needs to happen is just the washing of panels from time to time.
So it sounds like landlords don't have to incur additional costs beyond maintenance, really, when installing solar through this MASH program.
No, you're correct.
How much money is in the program, Andrew?
Currently, PG&E has a total of $47.9 million in incentives. For Track 1, we have $39.2 million, and for Track 2, we have $8.7 million. Currently, however, for Track 1, we are oversubscribed. We have over $10 million in our project wait list right now. So for MASH Track 1, we're actually not accepting any new applications. However, Track 2, we still do have funding for Track 2. Track 2 is a quarterly RFP where in the first and third quarters we'll issue an RFP out to see what types of projects we get in regards to innovative projects for low-income households. And then from there, we'll select wedding bidders to be able to fund up to the $8.7 million that we're allowed to fund.
I mentioned earlier that Eden has successfully secured a Track 2 grant for a project in Petaluma. In order to help others out there who may want to apply, can you comment on why Eden's application was successful?
Sure. So as you mentioned, Eden Housing is currently the only project that has been reserved Track 2 funding. And what made Eden Housing stand out from the rest was that the project provided direct tenant benefits from the solar system and also additional energy efficiency upgrades. The solar system will be serving both common area and tenant units. And also the one adder that we thought would be beneficial to low-income community is that the project would create an educational program for the tenants and involves increasing awareness of the environment and solar.
Will there be another MASH program after this funding runs out? Do you have any sense of that?
We don't know at this time. I know we, as the program administrators of this program, in collaboration with the California Public Utilities Commission, will at some point, probably this year, evaluate the successfulness of the program and then decide what the best approach is to ultimately meet the goals of the program.
Are you happy with the results so far? Do you think the program is achieving its goals?
I am pretty happy with the way the program has run thus far. I think in regards to achieving the goals, currently we don't have many projects that have been completed. They're just kind of going through the cycle of getting a reservation from us and then going through the installation process of the solar system for the low-income community. So at this point, I think we need to kind of look at it within the next couple months to see how many projects end up being completed and then start to look at the value that it's having in the low-income community to really make a decision on whether or not it's been beneficial or not.
Has there been any discussion about initiating a MASH-type program for solar hot water, like some sort of separate program for affordable housing?
Yes. Under the newly adopted solar water heating program, there is a low-income incentive component to it. Currently, there's a set-aside of $20 million of incentives for low-income solar water heating customers. However, the specifics of this program has currently not been determined by the commission. Later on this year, we will work with the commission to figure out what the program requirements are and then to be able to open up the $20 million of incentives so that we can start getting installations of low-income solar water heating for these types of customers as well.
That was terrific. Thanks so much for all that information, Andrew. It sounds like you're off to
Sure.
a great start with this program.
We definitely are, and hopefully we'll definitely see all the benefits in the coming months or years as far as educational opportunity and awareness for solar in the loan community, because that's really kind of our goal, is to make sure that customers are aware of all the different programs that PG&E offers and all the different things that they can do to continue to save energy on their bills.
If listeners want more information, can you share a web address with them?
Sure. So if they want more information, our website address is www.pge.com/CSI. And then from there should be a link to the MASH Incentive Program as well for more information.
Well, CSI should be pretty easy for people to remember. So.
Yeah.
All right. Andrew Yip, Supervisor for PG&E's Solar and Customer Generation Group, thanks so much for joining us today on the Affordable Housing Podcast.
Thank you.
For Eden Housing, I'm Joanne Green.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.